Our reading of the scripture this morning comes from two locations, one in the Old Testament, one in the New. We'll start with the Old Testament from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. Daniel saved from the lions. Then at break of day, the king got up and hurried to the den of lions. When he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out anxiously to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you faithfully serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Daniel then said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no wrong." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted his God. And from the New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, would-be followers of Jesus. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Praise be the Lord.
You know, it's always a healthy thing for a pastor to make a confession, so I'm going to do it now. You know, sometimes I'm in the habit of taking on projects that are daunting, to say the least, and are totally beyond my realistic capabilities. Are you like that? Take on these daunting tasks. So it was at the end of last week. I had a few extra hours after I worked, and I went in my backyard garden. I did some weeding, I did some planting, I did some watering, and I did some berry picking, and a bit of adding ocean glass in my rock beds. Feeling super accomplished after all that time, the thick patches of moss on my patio beckoned my attention. You know, not having experienced moss on the East Coast, when my husband and I asked how to tackle the green velvet that seemed to take a life on its own everywhere we looked, we were instructed the only way to get rid of this moss was, Pacific Northwesters, how do you get rid of it? Power washer, right? Power washing. Keep in mind, on that day when we asked, I heard it loud and clear, and we have someone scheduled to come and do it this week. However, on that day last week, I decided, let's see if a bit of wetting and scraping might not get our project started. So I soaked the moss with the hose, and with a garden shovel, a small garden shovel, I spent back-breaking minutes trying to scrape the moss off the patio. I'm not sure which got to me faster, the noise or about 45 minutes later, after all that scraping, I got nowhere, absolutely nowhere. In the book, Renewal in the Wilderness, the fourth chapter is Scraping the Hull, and it reminds us that the gift of the wilderness adventure is God's hull scraper, stripping off the barnacles of civilization that slows us, distracts us, and diverts us in our pursuit of God and God's pursuit of us. So God is a hull scraper. For me as a child, summers always proved to be a time to pursue adventures with my cousins, friends, and family. One in particular stands out. I was 10 that year. It stands out not because I intentionally sought out after the adventure, but the adventure presented itself in a way that no 10-year-old could imagine. We were on a family beach outing at Huntington Bay, and I was with my cousin Pat, who was my age. It was a beautiful summer's afternoon, and the extended family was enjoying the beach before barbecue at Uncle George's house, when suddenly, out of nowhere, the skies turned black and the winds picked up. The first thing I remember happening was everyone was out of the water, picking up towels, coolers, and beach toys, looking for the kids and the elderly to get back to the two cars we had taken to the beach. The next thing, the rain was starting to fall, and my Uncle George was asking Pat and I if we remembered where he lived. Being ever so courageous as 10-year-olds, we said, of course we did. So he asked us if we might, since we were all so full of sand in the car, if we might like to walk back to the house. Pat and I looked at each other, and we determined we were up for the challenge. With the cars taking off in the light drizzle, Pat and I started our walk home, and we were positively certain, we knew exactly where Uncle George lived. The first block was a piece of cake. We turned right where the cars had turned and remembered each house along the way. And then, as the skies darkened a bit, with the cars now out of sight, just seconds from the house, suddenly our confident and venturesome 10-year-old selves were challenged. We had come to a fork in the road. Clearly, for us, this was not Kansas anymore. Pat was totally convinced we should go left, and I was most certain we should go right. No time to squabble, the rain was getting heavier. So we did what most 10-year-olds would do. Pat sat down on the curbside and he started to cry. And I ran up the walkway to one of the houses, banging on the front door of somebody, pleading with the neighbor that answered if she knew where my Uncle George lived. Why, of course they did. We could either go right or left at this fork on the road, because right in the center of the fork of the road was Uncle George's house. Now, looking back on the experience as an adult, I can't imagine why my Uncle George encouraged us to walk home that day. But knowing I will never get the answer, I'm left with the memory. And my memory is how Pat and I, though still terrified inside, we felt so darn grown up when we walked up to Uncle George's house that day. Today we find Daniel and the lion's den, and the disciples invited to follow Jesus, totally out of their comfort zones. Both readings remind us, if we are to be in pursuit of God and open to God's pursuing us, we will be invited to exercise muscles of courage and faith. Do you have muscles of courage and faith? Who does out there? Sometimes, right? The cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz bemoans in his song, not having courage, by making his mantra, if only I had the nerve. He sings it on and on, if only I had the nerve. Rollo May shares his ideas on courage. He says, the opposite of courage in our society is not being a coward. It's conforming, it's conformity. In an article on courage that shared May's quote, we are told, rather than responding to our fears, the challenge is to act courageously and to foster courage in others, to help them grow their muscle of courage. We can do this by acting in spite of fear, by risk making mistakes. Now that's huge, by risk making mistakes. And by having courage to let go and let God, even when we're out of those comfort zones. And lastly, to reward courage in others, not because their outcome is a success, but because for the sake of being courageous in the face of fear. Now, exercising courage frees us up to spiritually exercise our next muscle, faith. Spiritual leader Annie Lamott writes, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. Certainty is missing the point entirely. Faith includes noticing the mess, noticing the emptiness and discomfort, and letting it be there until some light shines. Faith also means reaching deep within for the sense one was born with, the sense, for example, to go for a walk. So as we gather together, through this exhilarating summer of adventure, we're invited that no matter who we are or where we are in life's journey, to embrace the gift of wilderness, to be stripped of barnacles of civilization, and to wonder in the following questions. If only I had the nerve, what might be if only I had the nerve, what might be? And what am I more curious than afraid of? Thanks be to God. Amen.